All right, I'll call this meeting to order. Let's start with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have a roll call, please?
Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Vice President Fourcroy.
Here.
President Womack.
Present. All right. First item of business is board officer election.
Yes, we'll go over the procedural stuff here real quick before we go into the election nominations and election. Per our bylaws, it is customary for the vice president to become president following the year after his or her election, barring a four-fifths vote to preclude said promotion. So I guess we would start off with, is there a desire to not move Matthew up since he is our vice president? Otherwise, we can move on to the vice president.
There's no such desire.
We should clarify, though, you're considering this a promotion.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. You're going to make the big bucks now,
No,
man.
make the it's a Caltrans speak, I can tell.
So that's our first action. So I assume, based on the comments we just made, that Matthew, you'll be our president for 2026. The second is to select the vice president. We do open for nominations. If there's more than one candidate, then we have ballots for you in front of you that say vice president. Then once we have the nominations closed, if there's more than one, then I collect those and we tally the vote for that. So for that, we could open it up for nominations for vice president.
I nominate Chuck Cena.
I'll second that.
Any other no nominations?
I'm here.
That's good.
Then we don't have to have an election.
All righty.
Go, Chuck, you're in.
Decided. I
Here we go.
hand the gavel
Hey,
over.
congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
And thank you, Chris, for your
Yeah,
service last year.
absolutely.
My pleasure.
Very productive year.
Yeah. Awesome job, as usual.
Comes.
Okay. Well, with that, I guess we'll start 2026 off with our public safety reports.
Good evening, everyone. Battalion Chief Josh Lorenzo here. And I'll start out with the emergency activities for South Bay Station 15. And this is the dates go from December 1st to December 22nd and 2025. And they responded to 76 calls, with 31 of those were the back-to-back, what we call concurrent. This includes 57 medical aids, one traffic collision, one surf rescue, 10 public assists, one hazardous conditions call, eight call, two for fires, but six of those were false alarms. And on the administrative side, so as you all probably know, we opened up the application process for the reserve program, and this went throughout November and December. That was advertised on multiple platforms out there for candidates to come in and apply. The deadline was closed December 19th, and we had the physical ability test coming up. And this is going to be, and the dates probably changed on what you have, but we pushed it back to January 11th because of the winter storms that we had come through. We didn't want the candidates to obviously do that physical ability test in the rain. And then the oral interviews will be held the following weekend, and January 17th and 18th, for those who successfully passed that, what we call the PAT. I also just like to open that up for anyone on the board or anyone that's also present here or online. If they want to come watch that on January 11th, we're going to hold 15 candidates in the morning and 15 in the afternoon. Out of that, out of the application process, we accepted 30 to come through and do the PAT. Upon success, we're going to interview those the following week. And that's why we pushed it back, because just in case all 30 of those candidates, We can't do that all in one day. It's just too much on the personnel at Station 15. This will be held at the station here in Los Osos. Moving forward, the reserve firefighters at Dean Callahan and Scott Andre resigned. They served the community of Los Osos for 4 years and 1 year for the both of them. We thank them for their time with Station 15 South Bay, wishes them luck in their endeavors. The mid-year budget is in preparation process, continues, and the staff has spent time ensuring that the accuracy of the current budget and making the adjustments is needed through the end of the fiscal year. Special programs and projects that we have going on. December 6th, Station 15 attended the annual tree lighting ceremony at downtown Baywood Park. December 13th, they attended the Barry Mary Holiday Parade. The staff hosted 2 8-hour ride-alongs for the local citizens who were interested in joining the reserve program. During the ride-along, they were able to observe what it's like at a firehouse, what we do on our daily activities, calls, etc. Moving on, we did receive the newest tractor that was installed at Station 15. It is in service. We went a little bit without it. The crew, I know, really needed that. The previous tractor we had, after several maintenance repairs, it just met its end of life, and that's why we needed a new one. And also, South Bay would like to thank the community for all the toy and food donations. That was extraordinary to see throughout the months of November and December and how much support we got for the 14th annual Season of Hope food and toy drive. Additionally, on December 13th, the annual Needs and Wishes holiday fundraiser, we were able to support that in the assist of the Operation Santa Claus toy drive. And our sincerest appreciation and thanks to all for the amazing work in our community. I think before you guys do have the call log summary. If you guys have any questions on that or how that summary report is, I can go over that.
Any questions about the report? No. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we had a sheriff's report that got sent in, right?
Yes, I don't see any the CHP or sheriff online.
No, they're not online because it's the second Thursday for them and they had a different meeting to attend.
That's right. Okay, we're going to move on with our presentation, the fiscal year 24-25 audit reports.
Can I take public comment on the public safety reports real quick?
Sure.
Thank you. If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's none online.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, again, we had our annual financial audit recently. I did want to especially thank our district staff that were involved. We have Adrian, our accountant, is our contract accountant, who did an amazing job as usual. Laura was exceptional on helping with finding and providing a lot of information for our auditors, and our billing clerk, Alicia, did the same with the financial information for billing and water production, all that type of stuff. So we really want to thank staff. It's a group effort to make this happen every year. Some of the key points from this particular audit is our financial position strengthened over last year by $2.5 million. We did see a slight decrease in our water revenues of about $66,000. We are tracking this. This was prior to our latest rate study, so we had anticipated a little bit of a reduction. So this wasn't bad considering the information we used in the previous rate study wasn't completely accurate. Overall, property tax revenues decreased by about $1.4 million, but this is primarily due to, in last year's audit, were the overpayments that were, I have it down there, about $1.4 million. So we anticipated this as well. But the other critical taxes, like our Zone Z property tax and special fire tax, performed as expected, about at a 4% increase. Governmental expenses went down a bit, about $380,000, and this was mainly due to the Schedule A contract and the efficiencies from that. We didn't hit our anticipated budget costs for that. The good news again on investment income increased by almost $260,000 over the previous year. And this is based on our implementation of our investment strategy. And then fire and water reserves are very, very healthy, continue to be healthy. Fire at about 3.2 million and water at about 3.1 million. And those are on page 11 of the audit if you're trying to follow along in there. With that, we do have Sandy Supp, who is our principal auditor, online. I think she'll just provide some comments, and if there's any questions from the board, she'll be happy to answer. So I'm going to open it up to Sandy.
Good evening. I'm Sandy Supp with Fechter & Company CPAs, and this is our fifth year of doing the audit for Los Osos CSD. And we had no findings on internal controls. It was a clean audit, and all of the information that we needed for the audit was provided in a timely manner. And I thank Adrian and Laura and Ron and Alicia for providing all that information. And let's see, I think Ron did a great recap of the year's finances. So, and I assume you've had an opportunity to review the audit report. So I guess I'm just going to open it up to questions at this point.
Yeah, does anybody on the board have questions?
I have one. What would the payment have been? I guess, you know, just said what the change was in our, can you go back a slide or two? Because of the fire overpayment, did it actually, did the tax rate actually go up if we back that out of it?
Yes, and that was my comment based on Zone B and special fire tax. Zone B, of course, is for fire protection, and it increased over about 4% from the previous year.
Okay, and then what were the general numbers?
I would have to
ballpark numbers.
Go back and find that in here, which I believe... on page 55, I believe it's on. That's giving us the actuals for 2025. I don't have the comparison to 2024 handy.
Okay. Yeah. It just kind of, it throws it off in a good way, but it throws it off. So it's kind of hard to keep track of what that number is tracking at.
No, it's in here. I don't think I could grab the page in a timely manner.
Okay.
But we can look at that offline. But it did go up about 4%.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from the board?
Just a comment. Thanks everyone involved with this effort. It's a big deal to get a clean audit. Haven't been on the receiving end of phone calls from the county auditor in the past about our audits that we submitted. I appreciate when there just aren't anything substantial. There isn't anything substantial to look at. And I just got to say, this is complicated stuff because I tried to read the entire discussion on pension liabilities. And I felt like I was in the middle of the Exorcist movie at a certain point. And I was the one with my head spinning. It's complicated. I think I understood the basics that we're in good shape. We're meeting our obligations, and that's key because we need good employees, and we need to keep that healthy. But this is complicated, and I appreciate the efforts.
Yeah, that's why at the end of my report, I kind of give you a few pages that might help you understand some of the numbers because there are a lot of numbers and a lot of information. So for any audit nerds out there, it's they are fun to read now for me. So
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, let's open this.
Oh, just real quick.
One
I did
more.
Want to say the Finance Advisory Committee reviewed this, and they asked a lot of good questions and recommended that the board receive and file this year's audit as presented. And I wanted to say one more thing. Sandy mentioned it, that Fetcher and Company have been with us for 5 years. And so we will be going out to RFP. I really want to thank Sandy. She was an amazing auditor and mentor. She really taught all of us a lot of good things over the last 5 years. So I did want to recognize them.
And that's kind of what I wanted to say. I wanted to thank Sandy.
Yeah.
We're a little sad to go out for proposal, but perhaps when it's time to switch up again, I definitely hope Fetcher and Company is in the mix. That I've heard from staff that you guys were very good to work with, and I found your reports very easy to understand, or you know, they were in plain language, and so I appreciate that. So thank you.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed working with the district, and everyone was so helpful. And I'm going to miss working with you. But I do want to mention that, you know, there's other partners in our firm. So I know it's a good idea to have a different set of eyes look at the finances. I mean, we recommend it. As a matter of fact, I think it's in the state code now. Every 6 years, you're required, at least if you don't change firms, you're supposed to change partners within the firm. So I'm hoping that we're invited to bid on the next audit. And although
absolutely.
I will not be involved because it's our policy as well to rotate partners and managers. So it'd be a different set of eyes, which is a good thing. But, you know, I just wanted to mention that. Yeah, I thank you so much. It was my favorite audit, to be honest. So thank you.
And we hope you do submit for proposal. And
okay, we plan on it. I've spoken with Scott German, who's our managing shareholder, and he definitely is planning on it. So
okay, terrific. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I'm going to open this for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, well, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
I'll move the board receive and file the fiscal year 2024-2025 financial audit as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, we can just do a quick vote. So all those in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. The audit is cleared to be received and filed.
Thank you very much. Now we can send it off to all the regulatory agencies that require it.
Yeah, thank you.
And I won't expect to hear from any of them.
No.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay, which brings us to our next item of business, which is public comments for items not on this agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Yeah, basically, I have a twofold comment. Both of them are brief. The first one involves endangered species. And I've talked to Dominic Del Porto many times at SLO Building, because I've been a building contractor for 50 years. And part of the restrictions in Los Osos were due to endangered species. But I would like to remind the board here and SLO County that another endangered species is seniors. And when you're young, you don't think about it. But as soon as you hit 50, you think, my goodness, I'll be 65, just like that. 15 years and a senior. And I really believe 100%, and I'm going to try and push it more, that if you're a senior and you've had a lot in Los Osos, a building lot, and you're over 65, you should 100% definitely be given a green light building permit to build a home on your lot that you've had for 4 or 5 years or more. I think that is totally fair and should be acceptable. And even to promote that is an idea that I had a few years back, because I have the general building and swimming pool licenses. And that is, and especially after the Palisades fire, and I fought in the 1961 or two Bel Air fire, water is so significant. And if we would just have a gutter system on all the new houses built in, starting maybe even with Los Osos, the gutters would feed the roof water to a tank on the property. And that tank could hold a few thousand gallons of water easily, be accessible to the homeowner through a solar pump or to the fire department in case of huge fires. They'd have water on different properties. And maybe that could be a regulation for building, but please, hopefully, give seniors a chance in Los Osos. I really think they deserve it. And thank you for the time and my comments.
Could you state your name for us real quick so we could get it on the record?
Oh, yeah. First name Douglas, last name Converse. My company contractor's license is AquaQuest. And okay. That idea I just ran by you is AquaQuest in a nutshell. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comments for items not on the agenda?
There is none online.
Ashley Smith. Hi, everyone. Question and then a comment. I'll start with the question. It was if the CSD or county has any ordinance regarding public profanity. I'll go ahead with my comment. So I'd like to make a public comment emphasizing the importance of civility. Today, there was a man on the corner of LOVR and South Bay Boulevard holding a large sign with the word F-U-C-K capitalized and visible to all drivers and passersby, children included. Free speech is definitely important, but to our community, please let's keep our public signs free of profanity. Strong messages don't need offensive language to be effective, and maintaining a respectful tone helps foster better understanding and communication within our community. Beyond simply avoiding profanity, I'd like to advocate for the use of encouraging and edifying language in our shared community spaces. Edification is the practice of building others up, choosing words that instruct, uplift, and strengthen our neighbors. And in this new year, hopefully we can all seek to bridge divides, foster a genuine sense of collective belonging. Our public signage should be a tool for this growth rather than a source of conflict or fear. And with that, I'd also like to give a shout out to, I am a Rotarian, first of all, but to the Los Osos Rotary and their light up signboard. The community really has fun, and that brings a lot of joy to people to read the messages on that light up board. So it was nice to see that kind of contrasting the ugly sign today. And I would also like to express my appreciation for this board's commitment to maintaining a professional and respectful decorum during these proceedings. So thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, any further public comment?
Doesn't appear to be any online.
Okay, I don't know if we have I know that we have rules of decorum for our board in this boardroom. I don't know that we have anything.
Yeah, I don't know of any like public ordinance. Again, all we can do is encourage, like Ashley did, you know, civility. And like she said, you know, that's what we do here. So I appreciate your comments.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. The time you took to come down and express yourself was appreciated.
Okay, we're going to move on to administrative committee reports, to the general manager's report.
Okay, I have in the packet, I provided some updates on our capital projects. Our BAICS, or Program Seawell, as it's been known, is so close to being ready to run. We're supposed to have a startup Monday, but we had to postpone it because SCADA wasn't quite ready. But as soon as that's done, we have everything lined up with Division of Drinking Water, which was lagging. They're ready to come up and do their inspection and certification. So I think in the next 2 weeks, we will be running that well. Speaking of SCADA, that's our supervisory control and data acquisition system. It's running behind schedule. It was supposed to have been done towards the end of December, but we will definitely have it done by the end of this month. The Bay Oaks well was the first site to be able to come online so we could get it operational, but everything else should fall into line shortly after that. The water resiliency intertie project over to the Chorro Valley State Water Pipeline. Our design team is working very, very hard to keep that the momentum going on that. We have to finalize the pipeline route here shortly so they can actually get into design. Beginning of December, there was Yay and Associates, Judd King, they spent several nights out on South Bay doing potholing for soil samples. So we could determine where we will need to use trenching technology and where we need to use or can use horizontal directional drilling. So that was a big accomplishment and a push that we had done before the end of the year. Other recognitions, and this is a big one, and we'll do more on this at our next meeting. Director Cross completed the certificate in special district governance. Now, this isn't an easy task, and I'm sure Tom can tell you the number of hours exactly, but from what I could tell from the different certificates that I added up, it's about 24 hours of Leadership Academy and an additional 21 an hour plus in continuing education. We'll receive the official certification or certificate, I mean, and I think we'll do some sort of something for you at the next meeting. So thank you, Tom, for taking that making that effort.
Of course.
I think I'll save the one I put in here about the growth management ordinance until we get to the Basin Management Committee update. Does that sound okay, Chuck?
Yes.
A couple that aren't here, we are recruiting for the general manager position that hit the streets on Monday. January 5th. Closing date, I believe, for that for applications is February 8th. So if you know of any qualified candidates out there that want a great job working for a great board and community, steer them our direction, and I'm happy to talk to any of them that are interested. I also did, also, we got notification late last week that the Sunnyside Coalition, the citizens group, received signature verification for their ballot initiative. Congratulations to them. That was a great effort. And I got to thank the clerk recorder office for doing the verification process at a very busy time of year with Christmas mixed up in that whole thing. So the next steps, I did want to announce that the district will be having a special meeting on Monday, January 12th. At 5:30 to consider the action that the district wants to take based on the verification of those signatures. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Ron, I was wondering, and just as curious, the intertie project, will that possibly be like in the same area as the new bridge? And if so, would we be able to tie in the two projects together, or will one run behind the other?
That's a great question, and they are linked because obviously we have to cross the creek there. I got wind of that project about 4 years ago and reached out to the county. I know we hadn't really, the intertie project wasn't as far along as it is right now, but I did indicate that there might be a pipeline that needed to cross that creek. So they included in their design a portal to make it across. And I believe that was actually paid for by the federal grant that they received. Now, how that relates to our project timing, they are underway right now. I think they've already been doing some grubbing out there on South Bay. And they are asking us that we speed up at least part of our project to put in the approach from the north and south, the pipeline. So when they do their paving, we're not coming back in and tearing up brand new paving. So that'll be something coming up probably in the next 4 months. Our design team is going to be working with them and myself to see the timing and coordination on that. So I may be coming back to you with a project within the project to have that pipe installation done ahead of the bigger project.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
But that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to get the pavement down and then have the trencher come in.
Well, we could definitely do that.
Yeah. And yeah, for everyone, I've been getting questions about that because they are starting the clearing and grubbing out there now. And that bridge will be built next to the existing bridge, is my understanding.
On the east side,
yeah. So the only impact on motorists should be when the paving is done at the end of bridge construction. The bridge construction itself should not affect motorists all that much.
And the other big impact is they have to move the bear first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised he's not vanished already.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let's move on to, looks like we have a LOCAC report. Did somebody go to LOCAC?
I did, and I forgot my written notes, so I'm going off my mind, my memory. Some of the big things on LOCAC's website, there is a Parks and Recreation, the county survey about master plan that they want to have done by the end of the year. What do we want in terms of parks out here? And so that's important. Hit that website. It's right there. You can go to the county's website probably, but it's just as easy to go to LOCAC's. I think this month at LOCAC, the county will be out, SLOCOG will be out with a presentation regarding the sales tax measure that they would like to implement. They tried a couple years ago, but so many of the local agencies, municipalities had their own measures out. They pulled it back. SLOCOG is the Association of Countywide Governments that handles all the state and federal transportation funding. So they're going to give a presentation, and it's time for us to, if we want to contribute to that sales tax, we should understand what we gain from it. There should be specific projects spelled out, that kind of thing. So pay attention to that. I believe, or you might know more about this, the Integrated Waste Management Authority looking for another facility besides Morro Bay, the treatment plant for hazardous materials recycling. I don't know if they've come up with another one, but
they haven't. Their hope was to use the Los Osos wastewater facility.
Right.
They've got room out there. There's been, I guess, some hesitation. The latest I've heard, it could move as far away as the county facilities out on Kansas Avenue, somewhere out there.
That's unfortunate that
right.
We couldn't work here. There was a lot line adjustment out at Turry Road and LOVR and a farm that I remember, I think.
There's property and there's area. It's
yeah, I think those are the big issues. The Parks and Rec survey, pay attention to that. And then this meeting this month, we should have some good information about transportation issues. And off the top of my head, without my written notes, that's what I recall.
Chuck, did you, I heard it through the grapevine that LOCAC is going to have a special meeting on Saturday. Are we supposed to be part of that, or?
Well, we are fortunate to have Deborah Howard.
I see Deborah sitting there.
She knew more than
I'm hoping that I didn't spill some beans there, but.
And if you would like for her to speak to that,
that would be great.
Yes.
Deborah Howe, chair of Los Osos Community Advisory Council, and we have such an exciting 2026 ahead of us. That we as a council decided we needed to have a strategic planning meeting. This is just for the council. It's not a public meeting. We're going to be meeting actually at Shauna Sullivan's law office because she has a nice conference room. And we're going to be going through all of our priorities for 2026. That way we're prepared to lead this community as best we can with what we're faced with. And we have a lot of great stuff coming up. So we're very excited.
Okay, I just want to make sure that that we were not expected to be there, or we were.
No, you're not expected to be there.
Okay, good.
But we will be sharing with you some of the information that we put together.
Great,
thank you.
Okay, Finance Committee.
Just the regular meeting. The committee voted to approve the warrant register and receive and file the financial reports. And
I got to say that that's quite a financial report when you can dial down to the fact that we needed to replace some tires that we hadn't expected to replace and how that affected our budget. I think that's detail and I like it.
Yeah, full transparency. I did want to note, since you said something, that we are getting our sound system replaced.
I saw that.
We got a grant from the county to pay for it. So by next meeting, we won't be dealing with this archaic system.
Nice.
Oh, what's it going to be like?
I don't know. It's going to be much better. I don't know how much time I've spent under here playing with the wires.
Maybe it'll be like a Star Trek thing where you just hit a thing and say, take me to the bridge.
All these cords will be on.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. BMC. It's BMC time.
I think there's a written report. There is a written report in here somewhere.
Kind of indicated you wanted to talk something.
Yeah. Let me talk to the December 16th Board of Supervisors meeting. And that was a big one, is the growth management ordinance. Coming out of the BMC meeting, the BMC minus the county recused themselves because Bruce, or you know, Supervisor Gibson was going to be part of the land use decision. So the three purveyors recommended a 0% growth rate. And also the purveyors came up with a letter that was submitted. It had to be written and submitted within like 4 or 5 days that kind of backed up why we were asking for the 0%. I provided public comment. Chuck read the letter. We had others from the community provide public comment, and the board decided to go with a 0.4% growth rate. Which is about 25 permits. So it's not a lot, but the premise is that the transient model, though there is some uncertainty about some of the calibration for the seawater intrusion, it does indicate seawater intrusion continues. And that is a concern. And the purveyors wanted to hit the pause button so that we could improve the transient model to a point that it would lessen or eliminate that uncertainty, because we can't tell exactly if it's coming in faster or slower. You know, there's that, but we know it's coming in. So anyway, the board, supported by Supervisor Gibson and Blaine Reilly, who's the groundwater sustain or groundwater management.
SAR, he's a SAR.
Yeah, I forget.
Of some kind.
Tactile. So anyway, they promoted provided comment to the board that they thought it was supported. So anyway, we gave it a try there. 2026 is going to be pivotal in terms of really answering some of these questions that we're having and the continued issues that are associated with seawater intrusion, including our sustainable yield, if the number we adopted it can actually be achieved or not. And there's some things coming up that I'll tell you about as we understand it better in terms of how that impacts the district and even our new Bay Oaks well and how we use it.
There were two things from that meeting that troubled me. Obviously, if you watched it, I had an outburst at the end. The fact that I don't think that they recognized the investment that it's going to take to change infrastructure to get to the point where we might be able to harvest 2,000 or so acre feet per year as a sustainable yield. Golden State needs a new well. We've got things to do, millions of dollars of investment. And we kind of programmed 5 years for that to happen. And we're hoping for that pause button for that time. And there was also no mention of the 20% buffer that we try to build into that sustainable yield estimate. You know, of course, we're not at all in control of how much we pump. That's up to our clients, the people that use the water. But we do have some targets, and that 80% number is a critical one. And there just didn't seem to be any discussion about that. You know, we're well under the 2,000. So I don't think that the boards, either the supervisors or the planning commission, gets the full picture. And today was supposed to be the planning commission hearing for the 10-unit motel condominium complex that Van Buren wants to add to the complex up there, the Bonaire permit. They've postponed that for 2 weeks. Some design changes, apparently, but according to the staff report, there were no changes in conditions that were reflected in the environmental impact report. So I want to see that, because unless it was written within the last 2 months, there have been changed conditions. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on, and I'm not sure that the full story gets told to the appropriate county boards. And I'll stop with that.
So water's going to stay top forefront of the agenda this next year.
When new development does happen in our district, in our water district, can you remind us of that process of how those landowners end up getting new service from us?
Yes. You know, there's a couple of things because of the majority of our water service area is in the coastal zone. Some of these properties have to go through a minor use permit to get a coastal development permit. So they're kind of in a different spot where some of the lots aren't. So we do a conditional intent to serve there saying, okay, we're not saying we're going to provide you water, but if you do all these conditions, you know, you might be able to get one. So then if you're, let's say you're have a minor use permit or you don't need a minor use permit and you come in, if you're on the list or have been notified by the county, this is what we did during 2025. If you're notified by the county that you're eligible for a building permit, one of those 25, then we would provide an intent to serve letter. And there's certain conditions that we put in there that are standard in terms of meter placement and a few other items. Once those are satisfied and then they have worked through the building permit process, then we provide a will serve letter. So it's basically a two-step, possibly a three-step, depending on where the lot is and the conditions or that they need to meet.
Okay. Thank you.
So I can see why Chuck was probably a little frustrated at that meeting. It sounds like in spite of what the purveyor said, in spite of what the module said, in spite of what the public comment was, it was like talking to the wall. And they decided to go with a point four. Yeah. Point four anyway. Which, yeah, that would, I'm glad I wasn't there.
in a way, the submittal of the community plan to the Coastal Commission backed them into a corner. I mean, those were the rules that they had approved at the time. And you've got homeowners, property owners that have played by those rules. And now things have changed. And I think the county's at a point where they're at risk from either side. You know, approving things at this point is risky. Not approving things, people have spent money playing by the rules that were in effect at the time, even if it was premature. And so it's an interesting situation.
Yeah, that 4.4% is the same people that were granted the right to build this year, and none of them have been able to because none of the habitat conservation points were available. So it's kind of, and all those people spent money. So I think they're trying to accommodate the people they've already approved.
It's interesting. That's always the first point made in every comment from the county is, well, we couldn't approve anything last year. So I don't know if they mean don't expect anything this year.
Right.
Or
is it an impossible hurdle?
Just an acknowledgement that it's a bad situation.
Could you someone expound on the habitat conservation points and what that means?
Boy, this has been something that's been worked on for a decade or more.
More.
Yeah. I was going to say 20 years, but that might be too
late. I've got the draft.
Anyway, yeah. U.S. Fish and shoulder band dune snail, the more shoulder band dune snail, was threatened. Now it's or endangered. Now it's threatened, and we also have some endangered botanical species like Morel manzanita, and there's a couple of more. I can never remember their names. So the snail's been the major one, and it's been determined by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that all of Los Osos could be habitat. And so to protect that, the county had to come up with this habitat conservation plan that would put into place a way to mitigate any take of that species. And so that's the habitat conservation plan. And in order to get a permit for many things, including us when we do projects, you have to get credits. And the credits are based on a value that's been established, which it's over $2 a square foot right now. And so that program has been lagging behind. So the credits haven't been available. They're slowly going to be able to maybe have some credits available this year, but it's slow going. So that's really kind of it in a nutshell.
I think the county's acquiring properties and then you purchase credits from the properties is the way that works. And it's just a slow process, identifying and acquiring and
Now, is there also a water offset program? Yes. Can someone explain that to me and how that affects with
That's the other thing that has slowed down permits. It's the county Title 19. And the way that works is the offset is based on the exchange of ultra low flow type of plumbing fixtures and wash machines to replace higher using water plumbing fixtures. And that offset, that amount, they have to, a development like for a house has to offset twice the amount of water by doing this replacement to account for their water use. So in theory, it's net zero or even positive in terms of decrease in water consumption through that program.
And
it's been difficult for it to find the plumbing fixtures.
So most were retrofitted during the sewer construction. Right. And so that's been a very, very, in fact, we heard, I think at the last Board of Soups meeting, an offhand reference to the fact that we may have to revisit that program because it's been so difficult to get approvals through it. I don't know what that means.
You think they're going to do away with the Title 19?
I don't know what that means.
Fascinating. But as of right now, it seems unlikely that even with the 0.4% growth with the two types of credit that a new permit would need, it's probably not going to happen. So although the county did vote for 0.4, which is at least not a growth compared to what they recommended, like from 0.04 to 0.6 or something, right? It's still probably not going to increase growth in the area.
Not tremendously. No, not at all. It's a snail's pace.
So that's something to be optimistic about. Gives us time for the transient model to give more accurate data.
Well, that was kind of the intent when the purveyors went through the negotiation, was to figure out a way to keep it slow so we could get more certainty.
Cool. Thank you for explaining that.
Sure. Very important.
That was the critical line in the purveyor's letter. Uncertainty is not a green light. It's a caution sign. Mm-hmm. Right. Something to that effect. Right.
Okay, I'm going to bring us down to director's announcements of district community interest reports on attendance at public meetings, etc. Sounds like Tom did some training.
Yeah, excellent.
You went to the holiday party. Lon and me, does that count?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about yours, Tom.
CSDA and the Special District Leadership Foundation have a series of trainings. And since I'm a brand new on the board and quite inexperienced in government, I thought it would behoove me and the district and the board if I were to do that. It went over so many things. A lot of it was, you know, how to utilize this position on the board, set policy, set direction to staff, and how to, you know, like, find staff. It was perfectly convenient given our new search for a general manager. It's a lot to summarize, but I just hope that through my actions on the board that will summarize it.
Well, thank you, Tom, for doing that.
I remember that training years ago. The refresher would probably be a good idea.
I attended both the Christmas tree lighting. You see the picture, the big picture on the paper there.
Well attended.
I am on the pier with my hands up, so you can prove, I can prove that. And also, I had a active group in the Very Merry Christmas Parade, the Central Coast Fantasy Football League. We threw footballs to the kids, like we have done the last few years. And again, very well attended.
Sounds like a fun group.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to get to the appointments of district advisory committee chairpersons, vice chairpersons, and outside agencies. So, basically, I'm planning on keeping the committees largely the same. The one I want to change is the Morro Bay National Estuary Program. We had appointed Marshall as a board member emeritus for that position last year. What I think we should do this year is have Chris be the appointed person and Chuck be the alternate. He has busy third Wednesdays.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to make it.
It depends, you know, if they have short meetings or BMC doesn't have long meetings.
That's
backup.
A good meeting.
I'll be a backup.
It's very interesting.
Oh.
And they're meeting in person. I mean, you can meet remotely. They've got this octopus thing in the middle. So, like, it shows three people on the screen. And if you're talking, then it goes to you. And then remote people are also on the screen. So you can attend remotely or
okay.
in person.
The other piece that I wanted to add to that is, you know, we have a meeting that happens pretty much every month anyways. And I thought it would be a good idea to make that an actual ad hoc committee for our pre-agenda meeting that the board president and vice president. So the president and vice president get together with the GM once a month to go through upcoming agenda, work on, and it also is a chance for a lot of discussion to kind of help set the pace. So I wanted to make that an actual ad hoc committee going forward.
Can you please let me know if that would be get director's compensation for?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that would be a good idea, especially seeing that we will eventually be bringing in a new general manager. So
they're very productive meetings.
Yeah, it would probably be very beneficial for that person to hit the ground running on that.
Was there a reason why it wasn't a paid meeting before? There's no rules.
There may have not. Well, you know, since I've been here, we've had them, but I don't know if they were part of the process before. So
they were, because that was one of the things they were. Julie was upset with Vicky for taking compensation for that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
However, now it's formalized. I think that's a vital piece of
the
business.
Yeah.
So I'd like to do that. And then
Would that be you and Chuck on that committee?
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I guess I can only do it for this year.
This year.
Hopefully there's a precedent to keep that going for whoever the future president, vice president are to have that, because it's, yeah, it's invaluable for the GM and for the, the board, I think. It's kind of, it's always happening. It's just behind the scenes. So the other ad hoc committee is to review the board bylaws. I think Chuck and I'm going to make us do it this year. I haven't done it in a while.
Wait, where's Marshall?
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you do it when you were talking?
Yeah.
He did it last year.
I bet he did. Well, do you want to do it this year?
Sure. Yeah. I like the bylaws. I like reading them.
Oh.
Go ahead.
That's okay. I'll let you. Yeah. I'll have you do it.
So that's Chuck and Tom?
Okay.
Okay.
Chuck and Tom. No, no, no.
They've been looked over pretty hard the last couple of years. Yeah. Thank you for all of the policy updates, all the dust that you've encountered in the cobwebs in the corners around here.
Okay. With that, I don't think we have any previously asked questions. The next question is, do we want to pull anything from the consent agenda this evening? I don't see any, so I will open up public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Well, Deborah Howe, a citizen of Los Osos and a member of the Citizens Coalition for Sunnyside Park. And let me make my first comment about that. The Citizens Coalition was required to collect 1,029 signatures to get the initiative on the ballot. We collected over 1,400 signatures, of which the county clerk verified over 1,200 signatures. We had over 265 signatures more than what we needed, but that's because Los Osos is very supportive of this project. We're feeling very optimistic that the June primary, it will be on that ballot and that it will be successful. And we would like to encourage the CSD to get their Parks and Rec Committee ready to hit the ground running, because there will be a lot to be done. In addition to the coalition, because we're forward-looking, we have decided to create a nonprofit organization that will be an umbrella organization. It will be called Parks for Los Osos. This 501c3 has already been formed. We have not had our first meeting yet. However, the purpose of this 501c3 is to seek out donations and receive grant money that would support any kind of park project within Los Osos. So it's not just Sunnyside, but it could be something at the community center or a trail or anything that is parks related within our community. We're going to be supporting it. And having it be a nonprofit is pretty important because people want to give money, but they want to get something in return for that donation. So I just want to mention that. I also want to mention the water credits that at the BMC, I presented the idea that should we be successful getting Sunnyside Park, that we would like to connect to the recycled water, which would be, I've been told, $300,000 expense item. And it was suggested by me, and I think well received by the BMC, that that could be used for water credits, that people could pay into the water credit program and use that money for hooking up Sunnyside Park. So so that would sort of help with that Title 19 issue. And then just switching very quickly back to habitat conservation, I've been having conversations with the county about that program because it's obviously very important to LOCAC. Oops.
Yeah, we have more time, please.
Thank you. And I've been talking to Anna Wagner, who is in charge of that program, and I've asked her to do a presentation for LOCAC that would bring us up to date with what's happening in that program. And she said that would be a good idea, and she's going to work on that. I will keep you posted as far as when that might be on our agenda, but I will be talking about that at our next meeting, January 22nd, and sharing with you some of the information I already know about that program. So there are some credits available, a few, and then I have a question. Based on what happened at the BMC and the water purveyors saying zero growth, does that mean that the CSD will not be issuing will serve letters? And I ask that question because it's been asked of Golden State, and the Sustainable Water Group has already sent Golden State a letter saying that they have no grounds to stand on issuing will serve letters. They can't say it's the PUC that's forcing them to do it. So we already know that this is a debate with Golden State issuing will serve letters. And I'm just curious what the CSD policy is going to be going forward, since you've all agreed to for a zero growth. Have you had that discussion?
There's more public comment still.
Okay.
I do have one online if there's no further in the boardroom.
No, ready for the online comment.
All right, Andrea, you just have to unmute yourself.
Wonderful. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can.
Perfect. Andrea Luker, resident of Los Osos. I wanted to touch base on the Basin Management Committee report. I did listen to the Board of Supervisors meeting hearing about the growth, and I felt there were really compelling reasons to agree to the 0% growth. It feels like our supervisor, Mr. Gibson, is not listening to the water purveyors, nor the CSD, nor the residents. And I just would say that we really need to carefully evaluate those running for District 2 supervisor, who they're endorsed by, and what their stance is on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrea.
There's no further public comment online.
Okay, Ron, I think you have a question to answer.
Yes, and thank you, Deborah, for all the other information you provided. It is really exciting about the nonprofit for me. As far as CSD will serves, that's going to be a question. I just last night had a meeting with Mark Zimmer and reps from S&T Mutual, and this was one of our conversations. We're trying to stay unified as purveyors so we don't split the community. It'd be easy enough for the CSD to make findings to not issue will serve letters, and same with S&T. But all we're doing then is dividing the community of, you know, south and north, basically. So that's going to be one of the hot issues and pressing issues. I have to say that Golden State is exploring the ways through their legal channels, what their legal resources they have, to figure out how to make it happen. And so, as Mark was explaining last night when we met, in the structure of Golden State Water Company, Los Osos is so unique, they've never had to even deal with that issue, because their systems are down in Southern California, where you have Metropolitan Water District. It's never an issue. About you always, and if you don't have the capacity to serve, meaning, you know, pipes or, you know, that's where they wouldn't issue will serve. So we're going to have to resolve that. That's going to be a lot of conversation we have with the board, our UAC, Utilities Advisory Committee. But I don't think it's just a simple, yeah, we're going to stop. That's my opinion. But the board could direct me otherwise.
Okay. It's going to be a great year.
And, you know, we were just talking, the development that's been proposed, it's under Title 19, 2-to-1 offset. It's going to go very slow. Again, as what we were hoping for was a pause button to try to figure this out. I don't think there's like the immediate concern of if the development proceeds as it's supposed to, you know, under Title 19. We just want to make sure anything beyond 2026, we have a plan for.
permit by permit, it seems like.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'll bring this back to the board, looking for a motion.
How does that go? I will move to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I second that.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Forkroy.
Yes. Thank you.
Deborah, before you leave, I just want to give a shout out to LOCAC for all of the engagement, all of the things that are happening at that body. It's active. It's engaged. I can watch. I can listen now and feel like there's really things happening and it's part of the community. And it's a good time for that body to be active. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I totally agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With that, do we have any future agenda items that anybody would like to highlight? Plenty of future agenda items. Special. Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you, Chris, again for 2025. Good leadership.
Yes.
And happy new year.
I have a closing board comment.
Yeah.
I want to thank again our staff. I don't know if you guys knew, but they're working hard on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning to keep our water going because we had difficulty with pumps going down because our electricity was down. So, you know, I appreciate you guys working behind the scenes so we didn't have to boil our water on Christmas. And I think, you know, you guys work hard and we don't even know.
I really appreciate that. Our crew is amazing. And we did have struggle through the power outage and then the downpour Christmas morning. But everything turned out good. Power came on at a good time so people could eat in the light and the rain stopped just in time. Cabrillo Basin was filling up.
Good planning.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, meeting adjourned.
See you, Dove.
Happy, I need a couple of signatures.
Oh, no, not again.